The loser was a born loser, I thought. He has always been the loser. And if we observe the people around us carefully, we notice that these people consist almost entirely of losers like him. I said to myself, of dead-end types like Wertheimer, whom Glenn Gould had pegged the moment he saw him as a dead-end type and loser, and whom Glenn Gould had also first called the loser. In his ruthless but thoroughly open Canadian-American manner, Glenn Gould had said out loud and without any embarrassment what the others also thought but never said out loud. We always have to deal with losers and dead-end types like him. I said to myself and lowered my head into the wind. Whereas the Goldberg variations were composed for the sole purpose of helping an insomniac put up with the insomnia he had suffered from all his life, I thought. They killed Wertheimer. They were originally composed to delight the soul, and almost 250 years later, they have killed a hopeless person, I thought. I knew the hunting lodge. My first impression was that nothing had changed. The woodsman, Franz, whom I knew, greeted me. He, Franz, feared that now, after the death of Wertheimer, of his provider, everything might change. What he, Franz, particularly noticed, that is, that Wertheimer had had a piano delivered from Salzburg in order to play it, certainly should have some meaning for me. A piano actually stood where no piano had stood for a decade. Now there's a piano. I was interested in Wertheimer's notes, I had said to Franz, without hesitating. Franz then led me up to the second floor. The piano was worth nothing, and it was, as I noticed right away, totally out of tune, an amateur's instrument through and through, I thought. I shut the cover immediately. I was interested in the notes, the slips of paper Wertheimer had written. I said to Franz whether he could tell me where these notes were. He didn't know what notes I meant, said Franz, only then reporting the fact that Wertheimer, on the day he had ordered a piano for himself, had burned entire stacks of paper in the so-called downstairs stove, that is, the stove in the dining room. He, Franz, had helped his master with this task, for the stacks of notes were so large and heavy that Wertheimer hadn't been able to drag them downstairs alone. He had taken out hundreds and thousands of notes from all his drawers and closets, and with his, Franz's, help had dragged them down to the dining room to burn the notes. When the notes were all burned, all that writing, as Franz expressed himself, he, Wertheimer, called and ordered the piano. And Franz distinctly recalled that during this telephone call, kept insisting that they send a completely worthless, a horribly untuned grand piano, a completely worthless instrument, a horribly untuned instrument. Wertheimer is supposed to have repeated over and over on the phone, said Franz. A few hours later, four people delivered the piano and put it in the former music room, said Franz. The delivery men weren't out the door, said Franz, before Wertheimer sat down at the piano and began playing. It was awful, said Franz. He, Franz, had thought his master had lost his mind. I asked Franz to leave me alone in Wertheimer's room for a while. And put on Glenn's Goldberg variations, which I had seen lying on Wertheimer's record player. Which was still all.